Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's that time of the week where we take a look at some of the major stories that made headlines this week. Over the past few days, we've had a mix of good and bad news, and sadly, it's all linked to the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's see if we can get some context. Nicholas Fang, Managing Director of Black Dot and Director for Security and Global Affairs at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, is on the line with me. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm good. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, so we're talking about headlines of the week, right? I think we also should talk about Manchester United in third in the league, into the League Cup semi-final. That's also a headline, right?
I promised myself I would try to get a mention of that somewhere in the headlines news today, but thank you very much for reading it as the first thing.
I read your mind. Okay, in all seriousness, though, how about that photo that we saw in the Straits Times, the first batch of COVID-19 vaccines arriving at Changi Airport, and you have Transport Minister Ong Ye Kung saying that Singapore wants to become a COVID-19 vaccine distribution hub for the region. I suppose this is a very typical Singapore move, right? You have the politicians who will show that they'll take care of their people, and at the same time, because of our strategic location, they'll try and take care of the region as well.
No, that's a good point, actually. And I think that this move, like you said, is very emblematic of what Singapore does. You know, for us in Singapore, I think we take a lot of things for granted. When we see that photo, I hope everybody recognizes that we're actually the first country in Asia to receive the vaccines. Mm-hmm. Not just Southeast Asia, not just this region, but the first country in Asia, ahead of all these other big countries. And somehow we managed to sort out all the logistics. We got FIA to bring the vaccine over, and we're the first ones to get it in this region. So that's a really a big move and something that I think most of us can be very proud of. But I think the point that you touched on is a valid one. Minister Ong did talk about wanting to make Singapore a COVID-19 hub, not a hub for the virus, but a hub for all the vaccines and the different efforts to combat the virus. And I think there's a saying that goes on, not to trivialize COVID-19, but, you know, we should never let a good crisis go to waste. And Singapore has always been a master of turning crisis into opportunity. And it's a key part of our value proposition that we need to figure out things that we can do that only we can do. Nobody else can do it. And that allows us to keep our value proposition. So I'm sure everybody knows the history about Singapore's port and maritime industry development, how we use our strategic location, but also added on so many things that made us a very valuable transshipment hub. So Minister Ong talked about transshipment, this notion of actually having vaccines and medicines come through Singapore as opposed to going direct from supplier country to the purchasing country. And you might think that, oh, you know, if it's going direct, it's always faster. But Singapore, because it can function as a hub, could actually have, you know, various air services, different types of logistics at a very high level, where it might actually, counterintuitively, be faster or more efficient to come through Singapore than going direct. And then this, of course, would create, you know, industry, business, and potentially jobs within Singapore as well. So, you know, how can we use COVID-19 to find ways to improve? I mean, we're listening to some of the conversations we played earlier, really to think about opportunities to get ahead rather than just thinking about, oh, you know, there's all these negative impact and negative effects. So to me, it was very heartening to see this development, and not just the vaccines coming here, but, you know, sort of Minister Ong sort of talking about what this could mean for Singapore, for business, for industry here. And as you mentioned, what can we do to help friends in the region as well?
Well, it's really printed in that photo, you know, that symbolism of Singapore, because you see the words Singapore Airlines right there. And that's Singapore, really. More good news, Singapore announcing that 70% of residents are now participating in the contact tracing program Trace Together. And this was a government target it had set in order to enter Phase 3, which will start next Monday, the 28th of December, I believe. I know it is a significant milestone, and not to try and be negative about it, but 70%, I'm sure the target, as far as it's been met, I'm sure it would be better if it was more than 70%. If we could get to 80 or 90, it would be even better for us, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, if we can get to 100 even, but, you know, that might be asking a bit too much, because it does require a little bit of technological savvy if you wanted to use the app.
Sure.
But Singapore does offer the digital token as well. So actually, I don't think we should be too down on ourselves. Minister Vivian Balakrishnan, who is the minister in charge of the Smart Nation, raised the point that this could be potentially the world's most successful digital contact tracing program already, because 70% is pretty high. And if you look at other countries, developed nations, see that there's splits within the society, within the population of people who are okay to use tracing apps, and those who say that it's an infringement on public privacy, you know, people, government is tracking where I'm going and stuff like that. So, I mean, we've talked about this before, about the government's reassurances that the data that's being tracked is or being recorded is not your personal data, is using Bluetooth technology and will only be activated in the event that a case or cluster happens nearby to you. And I think that Singaporeans have, you know, taken on board that this is true. There's nothing to necessarily be very worried about. And, of course, the benefits far outweigh any sort of potential concerns as well, because what Trace Together does, and contact tracing is something that Singapore has been working on since the SARS outbreak, you know, many years ago, and it's continued to be refined and perfected using technology. Maybe not perfect yet, but we're definitely getting there. But one thing that's important is that it actually serves as a rapid response, a part of a rapid response system, not just for COVID, but for any sort of pandemic issue, where the authorities can put in place very, very fast measures to contain any potential outbreaks. We're still seeing, although we have very low cases, we're still seeing little bits of local transmission, one case here, one case there, sort of popping up. Yeah. And I know people are concerned, like, where are these coming from? You know, is there still this hidden reservoir of asymptomatic cases that's spreading and things like that? So Trace Together would really help, you know, until we're 100% sure, and I don't know if we'll ever be 100% sure, but it can help stop, contain clusters from becoming, you know, super clusters or super spreader events very, very quickly. And Minister Vivian also mentioned that this is one of the things that might persist, just like all those other safe management measures, washing hands, wearing masks, social distancing. It might be something that is with us for quite some time.
Yeah, we're already expecting phase three to at least last a year, as our Prime Minister talked about last week. And I think this really reflects our Smart Nation initiative. And it's because, okay, you say Singapore is a smart nation, you want to talk about all the integrated security or banking systems, but it's because of our contact tracing system that really reflects our Smart Nation initiative. And I think this will be helpful, or I do want to get your thoughts on how this will be helpful with regard to opening our borders, especially with concerns of the two mutant strain of COVID-19 that's been discovered in the UK. And I believe the other one this morning, there's talk that it might be from South Africa, although, you know, it's still being investigated.
Yeah, I think this notion of the mutant strain, I mean, I was just having coffee at a coffee shop just now, and the uncles next door were talking about exactly this, like, oh my goodness, did you hear about this mutant strain? And it sounds very scary.
Yeah, it does.
You know, but obviously, mutations of viruses do happen. We are all familiar with the need to get a flu vaccine, if not every year, in some cases twice a year, because of the very simple fact that the flu virus does mutate fairly easily. And a coronavirus, based on what the medical experts are saying, will do the same thing as well. So I don't think we should panic. There's no evidence to show yet that the new strain or strains are potentially, you know, more deadly. They seem to be more infectious. It can be spread more easily, but it doesn't seem to be deadlier. So there's no need to panic yet. But you're right. I think that, and sort of building on what we've talked about in terms of technology and new systems and processes that Singapore is bringing into play, we saw a couple of pieces of news yesterday. There were actually two apps that were sort of launched or announced yesterday that help you to track your sort of COVID status, as it were, via your medical certificates from vaccinations or tests. So you don't actually need to carry a piece of paper around.
Right.
One was launched by International SOS in collaboration with the International Chamber of Commerce. It's the AOK Pass. And yesterday we actually saw the first Singaporean travel from Japan successfully crossing the border into Singapore using this app. And of course, Minister Ong Ye Kung also on his Facebook talked about the Singapore Airlines app, which that airline is trialing to do sort of a similar thing as well. So I think it's really a big boon when we see technology coming into play on top of all the different types of processes that Singapore has been putting in place to hopefully open the borders soon, you know, if not to a better degree, and allow us to start traveling more safely and securely in the near future.
Yeah, that's my hope for being able to watch the Olympics in Tokyo.
I have tickets already. Did you buy tickets already?
How am I going to even afford the tickets that are there? But you know, with all the different changes, maybe. Oh, I guess Nicholas, you're going to have to help us report live from the Olympics next year. I trip you first, huh? Just to wrap it up, Nick, the whole $900 billion stimulus package in Congress was passed, and now it's left to Donald Trump to sign. But he's called it a disgrace, and he wants more of a payout. It's a weird thing here. He's trying to be like a Santa Claus, but is it really just like a stopgap measure until Joe Biden takes office, and then maybe we'll see something along the lines of a $2,000 payout for Americans?
I think there's actually a lot of different complexities to this particular issue. One thing that that hasn't really been reported very, very widely is the fact that this bill actually the information was contained in 5,593 pages. And the Congress was given 2 hours to read, process, and decide on what to do about this bill. And it's crazy. There was a report in the New York Times that it contains so many things, and some of it is quite weird as well. And there does seem to appear to be a little bit of bias favoring the richer demographic within the country, you know, companies and businesses in terms of tax write-offs and things like that. So that I think Trump is right to raise a concern about whether the poorest, the people who need the support the most are actually getting the full benefits out of this particular bill. But that's kind of weird because he's always been very pro-business and offering, you know, in a very sort of Republican way, focusing on tax cuts and things like that. So for him to come out and speak so strongly, it does raise a question. I mean, your point is true. Is he trying to have one last, you know, ditch to sort of improve his standing with the broader demographics? Is he trying to, in a vindictive way, make it difficult for Joe Biden to come in and have an easy runway? Not that he would in any case. Yeah. I think a lot of it remains to be seen. And I think we're all waiting for Inauguration Day in January and what the Biden administration can actually do in their first, you know, 100 days in office.
Yeah, all right. That's definitely something to continue watching out for. I've been speaking with Nicholas Fung, Managing Director of Black Dot and Director for Security and Global Affairs at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Nick, thank you for your time and Merry Christmas, yeah?
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, guys.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.